2 o'clock, straight up. It's the Card Show with Big Mac. Phone number to join, as always, 888-808-1019. Got a great show for you today. Only 24 hours away now from the NFL draft. Sir. Jets with 2 first-round picks. Giants with 2 first-round picks. So a lot of the draft coming up later today and a good portion of tomorrow's program. But obviously after last night's debacle, at Citi Field, the loss streak is now at 12.
We tried, Craig.
Good afternoon, Big Mac. How are you today, kid?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, well, we did try.
We tried.
We brought Hawk to Haley Welsh on the show yesterday, and she spit on that thing to try to bring the Mets to win, and then right
the
there out of the gate,
lead.
The New York Mets have a 3-0 lead. And look, a lot to talk about in revolving the Mets and the 12-game losing streak. If I could just say one thing off of last night's game specifically.
Yeah.
And obviously, Devin Williams is a clown. Wow. And what a great decision the Mets made there. Let's bring in Devin Williams. Although Edwin Diaz is out now with the surgery he's having for 3, 4, 5 months, maybe the entire season. It's not like anybody should gloat like the Mets made a good decision not getting Edwin Diaz back because Devin Williams is a joke right now. As their closer, but if you want to understand, and this rankled me the wrong way, and I'm sure it rankled Met fans the wrong way, if you want to get a glimpse into the mind of a $300 million ball player who right now, without Soto playing for the last couple of weeks, is your best player, and whether or not he gives a damn that the New York Mets have lost prior to last night 11 consecutive games, now 12 consecutive games, and he's batting closer to 200 than he is 250, all you have to do is look at Francisco Lindor after the home run. All right, it's 3-0 Mets. Mm-hmm. Nothing to gloat about. You got a lot of baseball left in that game last night, right? And the first thing he does is put on a costume to celebrate hitting a home run. They had lost 11 consecutive games. And after getting a home run last night and staking the Mets to a 3-0 lead, the first thing he does is, look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. Look, I've got the hard hat on. I've got the neon vest on. We have a new home run celebration. And if you want to understand why the Mets are foobarred right now, probably for the rest of this season, all you have to do is look at Francisco Lindor in the middle of an 11-game losing streak, which is now 12, and watch how he made it all about him after hitting that home run. Yuck.
Yeah. I think that's more of a team issue because you saw Alvarez waiting with the hard hit hat.
Yeah.
And like it wasn't like Francisco dipped into a bag or something and took it out. Like they were ready to do it. I think they're trying to build some
excitement. You think they discussed with Mendoza on the plane home?
Probably not.
After getting swept in Chicago and L.A.?
No, they probably
think he was like, hey, guys, you know what we need? We might lose 12 straight games, but you know what's missing from this team? Yeah. It's not defense. It's not power. It's not clutch hitting.
It's all of those.
What this team needs is a home run celebration. Anybody got any ideas? And I think that's what they did on the 2.5-hour flight home from Chicago. It was, all right, guys, I know how to get out of this. We need to start having some fun. Losing sucks. What type of celebration are we going to do if somebody hits a home run? That is a clown show.
You think Mondami?
Nothing more, nothing less.
You think Mondami lent them the actual New
I would
York
not
City?
Be surprised if they had it approved by the mayor. Yeah, would not shock me at all.
I think they're just trying to grab it at some kind of just get some sort of positive mojo going and trying to feel good about themselves. I mean, we see teams celebrate home runs. I hear you. I understand.
Yeah, not in the middle of a 12-game losing streak.
It's a terrible look. But here's the thing for me. Like, if you want to talk about, like, the issue, if you, and I know we go back to it because they're going to need a run like they got in 2024. If you remember, Lindor home runs lifted the team up.
Sure.
He would hit those home runs, particularly leadoff ones. I know he's not hitting leadoff at the moment, but he would hit those leadoff home runs to start a game, or he would have a big moment, and the entire team would come alive. And I think they're trying to bring that back.
Yeah.
But here's the difference. That team isn't here. This is a brand new team that the GM's put forth, and they completely went dead after that home run. That home run did nothing. That home run was like, whew, at least we got something that should be good enough to win with McLean on the mound. Let's let him do the rest of the game. It's no problem. He's throwing perfect through five. That home run should carry us. We don't need any more offense.
Bro, they didn't get any more.
And a Minnesota bullpen that stinks, quite honestly, shut them down the entire rest of the game. Like, that's the problem. I don't care what they're wearing in the dugout after the home run. The home run didn't do anything to help bring this team up.
Right, they didn't score again.
Juice.
Right.
He was the leader of this team, and his home runs mean nothing now. And that's not to knock him. He had a big home run. But those moments that got the, whatever, 2,500 people in the stands amped up, right? And we'll talk about how they got amped up later in the game, which I also thought was ironic and funny.
What, striking out the side with the bases loaded?
I mean, I think they
down
were
by
like,
two in the
I
ninth?
I think it was like a sarcastic, you guys suck, we have to manufacture some cheers here.
Yeah, I think so.
But
too.
Then when he actually strikes out and gets through the inning without giving up another run with the bases loaded, I think it became genuine. But there's no juice to this team. They're trying to manufacture with hard hats. It's not there. That home run should have lifted that group, and they should have scored another four or five runs and won that game easy. Instead, they go right into the tank. And that game, we talk about the last two in particular. Obviously, blowing the one-run lead in Chicago. And you're right, Devin Williams. I'm sorry. We've seen enough between here and last year. I know it's a different team. It's a different group. This is New York. And the pressure of being a New York closer, he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
He does not have the ability to do it. He cannot be the closer on this team. I wouldn't even ever go back to him, no matter how well he pitches. Let him pitch well in the seventh and eighth inning. Devin Williams is no longer the closer. But you look at blowing that game against Chicago. And then last night, you get that home run. And I'm telling you, I thought that was going to buoy the team. I thought that was the moment. They're coming home. You got your ace on the mound pitching incredibly. He's perfect through five. Yeah. You get that massive three-run shot from Lindor, who you're desperate for anything from. And I just thought the entire team would rally around that and have a great performance. And instead, the offense goes dead. And the minute, the second, the instant that ball left his bat for that two-run home run, everyone in the building, everyone watching, and most importantly, everyone on that Mets team knew they were going to lose the game.
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's what it felt like.
It felt exactly
the
like that.
The second Buxton hit that home run, it was a collective, I thought tonight was the night, and now I know it's not.
Well, look, and you know, they didn't do anything with the three runs. They were scoreless the rest of the way.
Yeah.
You know, it was an anemic offense again, outside of the home run by Lindor. Lindor, of course, wants to celebrate his own success. Doesn't really care that the Mets have now lost 12 consecutive games, because I got to wear the hard hat. I got to put on the vest and make everybody pose for a picture in the dugout in the middle of an 11, now 12-game losing streak. Like, you want to talk about being tone deaf? You're in an empty building last night.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest about it.
No, it was empty.
An empty building last night.
And they don't deserve
to pack. And you're putting on a hard hat celebrating a home run when you're batting 200? You are part of the problem. And the Mets offense did nothing after that. Noah McLean deserved a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Even after the two-run home run to Buxton in the sixth. You know, it's like, hey, is anyone going to get on base? Is anyone going to score a run to give me a little breathing room? Or do I have to start being perfect again like it was for the first five? Carlos Mendoza, who's a very nice, likable guy, has no control whatsoever over this locker room. That's obvious. Nobody gets punished. No one gets sat down. No one gets tough talked to. We're now celebrating like we're in first place with a dopey home run celebration in the middle of one of the worst losing streaks in the franchise's history. 2,500, 3,000 people, maybe 5,000 max. It was embarrassing to look at all the empty seats there last night. But Francisco Lindor decided to celebrate his own one accomplishment in what's been a horrendous start, again, to a season in which he's not helping the New York Mets win games.
No.
And that's why I told you, you might as well lose 30 in a row now. This season is a wrap. And I hate saying that because, it's so early. It's April.
Yeah.
This season is a wrap. So let's set the record for most losses in a row in a Major League Baseball season.
Well,
let's at least own something.
They have now hit line of demarcation, right? 12 consecutive losses. And it's going around everywhere. No team in the history of baseball, at least since 1903 or whatever, has had a stretch.
Oh, is that right? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. No team in the history of baseball has had 12 consecutive losses and then turned around to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And only four, as Evan stated today, only four have come back to even finish at 500 or better. So
you know what I'm going to do? I might bring the Hawk Tua girl back.
She didn't help. I mean, I have no problem.
She gave us a 3-0 lead. But if we bring her back, then we're not going to be innocent. Why? It's going to be a whole thing again. So maybe I won't bring her back on. In any event, we tried. And by the way, let me just say something else to SNY.
Yeah.
You know, We brought on someone who represented success for the New York Mets yesterday in Haley Welsh. And it was a very innocent little 5-minute interview, all good. SNY during the pregame show has Steve Gelbs out there mocking Black Magic. And as a practicer of Black Magic, as you know, I have an Aztec death whistle in my bag. So you can confirm that I am a practicer of Black Magic.
I can confirm.
Right? I'll play it for you again if I need to.
I've heard the whistle.
When you go out there and you disrespect the Black Magic of Burning Sage, you deserve what you get. And what you got was your 12th consecutive loss. If you don't believe in it, you can't do it. Kyrie Irving believed in it when he did it in Boston as a member of the Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. And while we mocked him for it, he believed in it.
Yes.
All right? Steve Gelbs is a good guy. And the New York Mets and SNY did not believe in the Sage. And it bit them in the ass as a result. 12 consecutive losses. Now, you got Holmes on the mound tonight. He's got a good ERA, but what is he, 500 right so far this year, I think, right?
How many wins could he have?
Yeah, exactly right.
He's pitched. They have the fewest wins in all of baseball.
They are officially now the worst team in all of Major League Baseball.
There is no doubt.
Yes.
They are, and it's not just the record.
Yeah.
They are playing like the worst team in Major League Baseball. The Minnesota Twins, after being, you know, a perfect game pitched against them through five, against one of the best pitchers in baseball, down 3 runs, came back and won that game, and then on social media, dunked on the Mets.
Yeah.
That's where the Mets are.
I
want
to get into that. So,
that's where the Mets are. Stephen A. Smith, who doesn't talk baseball, doesn't know baseball, dunking on the Mets.
Yeah, I don't care about
Everyone
that.
Is taking every single advantage to dunk all over the Mets right now, and it's rightfully so.
I thought the Minnesota Twins Twitter post was brilliant. The Minnesota Twins, who are a sorry-ass franchise themselves, who came in 11-11, they're now a game over 500, they put out a tweet. Whoever runs their social media needs a raise and a bonus, because that guy or gal was genius last night. And it went like this. Name things that come in a dozen. Eggs.
Roses.
Roses. Met losses.
That's rough.
Perfectly stated. On the money. And while he's doing that, the New York Mets last night had their security throwing people out of the stadium for saying, fire Mendoza and F Mendoza. Yes. He did curse. Absolutely curse.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that cursing was an automatic ejection from Citi Field. But the owner continues to go after the fan base. And again, I think there are levels of cursing that can be tolerated and levels of cursing
that should not be tolerated. We don't know exactly how that went down, but he was thrown out for screaming.
And he was thrown out for yelling F. Mendoza and fire Mendoza. And I don't blame the security guys. They're doing their job. They're told to do it. Mm-hmm. And they're probably really good guys. But the New York Mets are now at war with their own fan base. You had about 5,000 people in the ballpark last night. And you kicked one of them out because he dared share his frustration with Met baseball by yelling and screaming at the manager. So that's where we're at now. 12 consecutive losses, and you're tossing your own fans out of the stadium. Who saw that coming?
Nope.
Right?
This has gotten to...
Yeah,
this has gotten to a level I never thought it would get to.
Yeah,
this is as bad as it gets. And then watching Devin Williams implode when, like, that's the thing too. Like, and I mentioned it with the home run off as soon as Buxton hit it. Like, the minute he comes in, and forget walking him, the minute Devin Williams comes in and the count's 3-0. I know they're going to lose the game.
Yeah, I felt
like
the same way.
I know he's giving up runs. I know it. We've seen it. Yankee fans have seen it. Met fans have seen it. I know for a brief moment in time, in his first couple of appearances, everyone was like, you see the Yankees, what was wrong with Devin Williams? Not Devin Williams. He's going to be fine. You can tell. It's obvious. For whatever reason, go pitch in Minnesota. Go pitch in Pittsburgh. Go pitch in Milwaukee. And he might be one of the best relievers in the game. He won't be that here. He won't do it for the Mets. He can't do it for the Yankees.
Yeah.
That is the moment is too big for Devin Williams. Last night, it's obvious. Two back-to-back appearances where you have to have a clean inning, and he has a four-pitch walk to the leadoff guy. You can sense it. You can feel it. It's obvious. He can no longer be the closer of this team. And now you add that to the level of, like, that's the thing, Craig. Like, forget all, like, the nonsense. Look at the team and tell me where they're good. Tell me one spot that they're good outside of McLean.
Right.
Like, they're not good anywhere. They're not good in the starting rotation overall. The lineup can't hit. Now the bullpen is an absolute disaster. They're better defensively than maybe some people are saying, but they're not good defensively. There is not an area of this team, as they are 9 games under 500 with the worst record in baseball. baseball, everything falling apart around them. There's nowhere to turn and look at and say, well, at least there's this.
Well, there's one thing.
What's that?
They now have a home run celebration. So at least they got that going for them. Because that's not tone deaf at all.
You really hung up on that.
Yeah, because it's tone deaf. And it goes to what I'm saying about Francisco Lindor.
I hear you.
Francisco Lindor
They're trying to get something going. It is a game at some level.
Well, then let's play it's a game.
You got to try and have some fun. Like, you got to try and break it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I thought it was ridiculous. I thought he looked ridiculous. Then posing for the picture with the guys on base. Like, I get it. They're 11 games they're 11 games in a row. It turns out to be 12 games in a row. But, like, at some point, you can't just be miserable the whole time just because you're losing. Otherwise, like, you're trying to snap out of this thing. You're trying to bring some momentum to it. Like,
What's the upside in snapping out of it? Like, at this point, you've ruined baseball for Met fans. I'm sorry.
It's still April.
You have ruined baseball for Met fans.
They haven't.
You ruined it.
In 2000.
Like, just play it for a second. Like, you're a Yankee fan. Yankees went 4-0 yesterday. They beat the Red Sox.
And no one cares.
We'll get to that later on.
You know how pissed I am that that's like the 17th story of the day?
We'll get to that.
The Yankees ho-hum kicked the crap out of the lifeless Boston Red Sox.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
But if you're a Met fan, you got the NFL draft tomorrow, first round at least, and on into the weekend, all good. Mm-hmm. And then what do you got? Like, most Met fans are Jet fans. So you have a loser summer without baseball. You've got a Jet franchise that you know is not going to be any good. And the New York Knicks have a must-win game 3 against the Hawks tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
Yeah.
And then you have the most tone-deaf player in the history of the New York Met franchise celebrating his home run in the middle of an 11-game losing streak, which is now 12. Like, a tone-deaf franchise, a tone-deaf owner. You're kicking your own fans out of your own building now. Mm-hmm. There's now a civil war between the ownership group, in my opinion, and the fan base. The team stinks. Even the biggest Met fans out there, you know, the biggest Met ass-kissers out there, have nothing good to say. Meanwhile, the Yankees win 4-0, and no one pays attention to it because that's what they do.
That's what they do.
We got lots cooking today.
But, like,
we also have the wheel today, and this wheel is going to be Met-themed today.
Met-themed wheel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Met-themed wheel. That's right. Topic one, losers. Yeah. Topic two,
losers
villains.
And hard hats.
All right, we're going to do with
the season's not over. It's just not.
And by the way, imagine being a diehard Met fan with a strike on the horizon. You won't have real baseball for like 2 years.
Yeah, and like, you know who else I feel bad for? And there was a discussion in the newsroom about it. Howie Rose.
Why did I feel bad for Howie Rose?
This is the year he decides to walk away. He kind of sent the challenge to the
Mets.
Same
as every other year. They're not winning a World Series.
Well, I know, but this is particularly... Right? There's a chance this is one of the worst seasons in Mets history, and that's saying something. Like, this has a chance to be the worst season.
But that's the point. At least go out with something good to hang on to, right?
That's not good.
That's why you want to lose 30 in a row now.
No,
because at least you set a record.
Stop.
You've got something to like latch onto.
Stop with that. Nobody wants to. Because even though no team has won or made it to the playoffs after 12 consecutive losses, here's the thing. They were worse. They were under 500 by more games later in the season in 2024. And they found their way to the NLCS. Now, I think that team was better than this team. I have major concerns about where there's any like good players on this team. But the fact of the matter is they were 11 games under 500 in May. They are now 9 games under 500 in April.
Yep.
They have more time, and they're in a less deep of a hole.
Yeah.
The season is not over.
And they're not as good a team.
They're not as good a team.
By the way, meanwhile, Pete Alonso just hit a home run. So, just
did he really?
Yes, he did. Damn it. All right, 888-808-119. We will get all your phone calls. We're going to be here for all the fetching and bitching and moaning and complaining about the Mets. Love to get your take on Lindor deciding that last night was a good night to celebrate himself in front of 5,000 people at the ballpark, which is also embarrassing. It's like we're a minor league team somewhere in like South Dakota. Like, that's the kind of attendance the Mets get now, and it ain't going to get much better. We'll get all your calls. It's the Carton Show with Big Mac. We'll get to a bunch of football later on. We do have the Yankees later on as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have you throughout the entire show, plus the wheel after 5 o'clock. It's going to be a very special day here on The Fan.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Fanatics Fest. It's the number one sports fan festival, and it returns to the Javits Center in New York City from July 16th to the 19th. See top athletes and just announced former Mets and Yankee greats like Mike Piazza, Jorge Posada, David Wright, Mariano Rivera, Keith Hernandez, Don Mattingly, Daryl Strawberry, Andy Pettitte, and Jose Reyes. There'll be live panels, autographs, photo ops, rare trading cards and memorabilia, plus exclusive merch drops that you can only get at Fanatics Fest. This is the ultimate weekend where sports and culture collide. Tickets are on sale now, so grab yours at FanaticsFest.com.
I think I'm doing something with Tom Brady there that weekend
as
well.
You're doing something with Tom Brady?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Not fully vetted yet, but I think I'm going to be with Tom Brady doing something there.
Really? How about
that?
Yeah,
and I think you and I might be broadcasting from there too.
I thought that was the plan.
Yeah, I'll find out.
Okay.
Fellsley in for a second. You think you've got elite genetics, big league stuff, five tool talent with upside? Of course you do. Here's your chance to prove it off the field. California Cryobank is looking for healthy, confident sperm donors ready to make an impact. Help families get paid and help create a legacy that actually means something. Not everybody gets called up, but this is your shot. If you've got the confidence, and we know you do, step up and deliver. Go to spermbank.com right now. Apply and start earning up to $2,400 as a sperm donor. Again, spermbank.com.
And this portion of the program is sponsored by DEA Take Back Day. Help keep our communities safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, April 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts. And by St. Joachim and Ann Nursing and Rehabilitation.